From Cokato to Mankato and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always topical, always cluttered Twin Cities sports scene.
I see you went Mankato. So in other words, you're jumping off that Twins bandwagon and jumping onto the Vikings.
Well, no, there's a lot of Twins fans in Mankato. I'm sure there's a few in Cokato.
That's not where you're going.
We'll get into the purple soon enough.
You're giving up on the Twins.
No. I've been supportive all year. It would be hypocritical to jump off the wagon now. But this is definitely a rut. They've hit a rough patch. And I'll tell you what, it's been difficult. I mean, you go back to the Friday night game against the Yankees where they won 10-1 and everything went well. They had the four home runs. Phil Hughes pitched very well. They were good in the field defensively. And then they have that lead on Saturday. And Tommy Malone's on the mound, and everything starts to unravel. And A-Rod hit the three bombs. And then Sunday, there was a six-run sixth inning against Kyle Gibson.
It was ugly.
Yeah, and then the Pirates come in, and they're a very good team. Very good team. So, probably the second-best team in baseball right now. And they win two games, and Glenn Perkins had a bad outing in the Tuesday night game.
And now Seattle in this weekend.
Yeah.
And if you look back at it, they haven't played well since the All-Star break.
No.
I mean, they really have not played well since
the All-Star break. 3-8 going into the Seattle series post-break.
Yeah. And they've lost every series since the All-Star break, which is even more critical because that's one of the things as a manager or as players they look at and say, hey, you know, if you lose a Friday night game, you say, hey, let's win Saturday Sunday, we can still win the series. And they're not doing that right now. And I don't think this is any mystery, that the biggest issue since the All-Star break has been the faltering bullpen. You know, that middle relief, which has been so good. And then, as you mentioned, even Glenn Perkins giving a couple away, something we didn't see the entire first half. He was perfect in the first half of the season, and he's already blown a couple here in the second half. So they need the bullpen to perform better. They need to continue to score runs. I think that they have had a number of games where they have scored enough runs to win but just aren't getting the pitching. And then, you know, then Irvin Santana pitches three or four decent innings, and then he blows up. And you mentioned Kyle Gibson the other day. And I actually blame Molly a little bit on the Kyle Gibson one on Sunday. I thought he kept him out there too long. It's a 2-1 game. He had a couple of lefties coming up. And he probably didn't have anybody ready for the first one. But then there's a hit. So now it's 4-1. But then he kept him in there against this Headley guy who had just hit a home run his previous at bat. And Headley rips one into the corner and 2-1 score. And it's 6-1. And it's basically over at that point.
Yeah, that was a rough day because I was at the ball game until the sixth inning, and then I had to leave early for some other duties that were calling me. So I was literally on the Target Plaza watching Gibson allow the bases to become loaded with nobody out.
Yeah, and he walked two of the three guys.
Right.
So there's your first clue as manager.
And he's letting first batters of an inning get on base too many times. And so it's 1-1, clock says 2:50, I had to be somewhere by 3, so I exit out 6th Street. As I'm on the plaza, I could hear the radio broadcast, I heard one hit knock in a couple.
That was the first one.
By the time I got to where I needed to be, which was literally 10 minutes from Target Field to downtown Minneapolis, it was 7-1.
Yeah.
They had a, you know, blink your eyes, and they got 6, and off the Yankees went into the sunset with 2 out of 3. And, of course, they're kryptonite for the Twins. Doesn't matter, you know, who the manager is, Gardy or Molly, the Yankees beat up on them. And then come the Pirates.
And two similar situations, too, where it's a close game, and then the Twins' bullpen explodes. The Pirates, the one game, it was, what, 3-3 in the eighth, and they give up 5. And then the Twins come back and get 5 and tie it, or 4, whatever it was.
Yeah, each team had 4 in the 8th.
Four in the 8th. And then, of course, then Perkins comes in and gives up a home run in the 9th, and they lose.
Well, I think that's to your point, that there have been games where the Twins offensively have been pretty good. And Tuesday night was a game that, boy, you come back, and then you get your closer in the 9th inning. You think, okay, if he can just slam the door here, maybe we win it in the 9th inning. Instead, he gives up a home run. And the Pirates won that game, and the next day, the getaway day game for Pittsburgh. Francisco Liriano didn't pitch that well, but he did get the victory, the former Twin. And Irvin Santana did not have a good outing, and they had some miscues in the field defensively.
Yep.
One that I'm sure will be replayed over and over on. Do they still have TWIB, This Week in Baseball.
This week in baseball.
But yeah, I'll tell you what, it's going to happen. 162 games, you're going to have some turbulence. We saw it very early for the Twins. We also saw it into June, but then they recovered going into the All-Star break in the first half of July. Now the back half of July has been bad. Maybe August will be better. Maybe they can't wait to flip the page on the calendar, but here's the problem. As our good friend Larry Fitzgerald pointed out the other night, objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear.
Yeah.
Here come the White Sox.
Yeah, well.
And the Tigers.
I'm not worried about the White Sox. Sorry, Larry. I would be concerned about the Tigers. Tigers have been playing better baseball. The other thing that concerns me is, who are they losing to? You know, they lost to the Yankees. They lost to the Pirates. They're losing to probable playoff-type teams. So, in other words, if in fact they do somehow manage to get into the postseason somehow, some way, they're not going to see the bottom dwellers. They're going to see playoff teams. They're going to see good baseball teams. And that showing right now is not very good. That what concerns me now is, okay, you know, and you do need to beat the teams below you, no question. But you got to be at least competitive with the teams that are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you left out the Angels, lost two out of three against out there in Orange County before the homestand. And
right.
I think last week we were all giddy that they came back home. They had that final win against the Angels a week ago,
right.
Thursday, I believe. And, okay, that was a feel-good win. They could maybe parlay that into a successful homestand. Well, it hasn't been very good so far. They get four cracks at Seattle. Seattle, record-wise, has been a disappointment, but it's a good team. I think that they're capable of getting on a run.
All right. Silver lining here. Aaron Hicks has been hitting the baseball. You got to like what you've seen out of Aaron Hicks. I think that he is more comfortable than he's been, well, ever, as a major leaguer. But he kind of looks like that guy that we were hoping for. Defensively, that's not been the issue. Really has never been the issue. Offensively, his comfort zone has been, and I think he does look comfortable at the plate now, and he's giving them good at-bats.
He's a good story. The Twins have been patient with him. There have been ups and downs. There have been trips to Rochester. There have been moments of, you know, where he's been mistake-prone. We saw it in spring training, I think, where he ran himself out of an inning on the base paths, and Molly called him out publicly. Gardy has called him out publicly in the past. But he's a young guy. And he's a guy with a lot of talent. He's a high draft pick. And I think now the light bulb's starting to go on. As you pointed out, his center field play never really has been in question. He made another fabulous catch the other night in the Tuesday game against Pittsburgh, you know, running into the padding in center field to make the play. I'm glad they stuck with him, because sometimes it takes a while. It is a process. I think it also means they can be a little more patient with Byron Buxton when he's ready.
Yep.
And I want Buxton up here. I really do. And I, you know, I've heard these crazy rumors they might deal him.
I can't believe
that's even hitting the airwaves or the internet, but it's out there, and let's squash that. That's not going to happen. But it'll give them more strength in the outfield, because Hicks appears to be getting it. And you know what? The guy playing to his left in right field, Torrey, probably has been part of the reason why he's been able to, you know, elevate his game. Obviously, Aaron Hicks deserves the credit, but there's no doubt in my mind that Torrey has been helping him out.
No question. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, who did he have to lean on the last couple of years when he's struggled and bounced between Rochester and Minneapolis and vice versa, and I don't know, wherever else they sent him to try and fix his wagon? And nothing seemed to work. And it didn't even work in preseason. He just was not playing well enough to make the major league roster. So I think that there have been a lot of good things that have gone on, and you know, hopefully he will continue to progress and get better and better. They need him to be good. Let's face it.
Well, they do. There's no question. And I think that, again, it's a good story, and it's also a lesson that sometimes you got to be patient with young guys. It does not happen right away.
Yep.
Kyle Gibson comes to mind as well. Now, he's had some rough outings, but before the All-Star break, he was, you know, very good. He was hot. He's another guy who's like Hicks. There have been some ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster
right.
to some degree. And if you step back and look at it objectively, how many players, when they're young, come in right away and light it up? Not too many. even Miguel Sano has had a little bit of a drop-off, and he started off very fast.
But he still gives them good at-bats.
Oh,
that,
no.
That was the next guy I was going to bring up, and I you're right. You know, he's not going to hit 400 or whatever he was for the first week and a half. I mean, that's not going to happen. But he still gives them pretty good at-bats, which that's the difference between him and Hicks or him and Buxton is that I don't think you were getting – well, I know you were getting horrible at-bats out of Aaron Hicks his first 2 years in the majors. Miguel Sano knows the strike zone. He's willing to take walks. And he knows that, you know what, if they're going to pitch around me, they're going to pitch around me. I'm not going to swing at balls out of the zone. Over random base to end the game the other day, I saw that. He doubled and then, I don't know what he was doing, rounding second base, and they're down by 5 runs, whatever it was, but 7 runs. But still, he still is, I think he's a big-time bat in that lineup that they sorely need, and they need him to continue to hit. Because if you remember, it wasn't that long ago that we were worried about their offense. And he came in, and I think part of their, you know, part of them being able to score runs is he's been at least consistent. You know, like you said, there's been some drop-off, but at least he's been consistent in that lineup, giving him, you know, he probably reaches base twice a game. He gets a hit and a walk every game, basically.
Well, he's here to stay, and you know, he will just continue to grow at the major league level. He's a part of this team moving forward, and he belongs here. He's proven that, so... I still think this team's going to be in the mix, but what they're doing here by going into this tailspin is they're allowing other teams with wild card dreams to close the gap on them, and that scrum becomes even bigger and larger.
Right.
So they're just a team right now in the mix. They're certainly not in the AL Central chase. I was pulling into downtown Minneapolis on Tuesday, and you know, you think how many times we've done this drill.
Yep.
Tuesday night. Pirates are in. Now, you know that there's going to be a decent crowd, but certainly nothing like a sellout. I'm pulling in and getting my usual parking spot, and then I start to walk in down 6th Street toward the ballpark, and I couldn't believe how many people are on the streets. It was jammed. It felt like a Saturday night or Friday night, and a lot of younger, attractive gals. I'm like, are these all Pirate fans? I know Steeler Nation travels well, but does Pirates Nation travel well? And so little did I know, it was Shania Twain was playing at Target Center at the exact same time.
Well, there you have it. Now you know.
I think after what I saw, it might have been better to go see Shania.
Oh, yeah, based on that performance by the Twins, you would have been way better off.
She packed them in.
I'm sure she did. all right. We need to take a break. Before we do so, Rocky has just texted and said we are going to talk some more Twins. He has rounded up the great Rodney Klein Carew,
Hall of Famer.
So you'll get a chance to chat with him. And, of course, our usual chat with Al Moss. We'll talk some more Leech Lake fishing as Mille Lacs gets shut down for walleyes and Leech heats up.
Yeah, I hear Leech might be your destination walleye lake now.
No question.
All right.
Well, we caught one up there earlier this
year.
Yeah,
so feel bad for the folks at Mille Lacs, especially the tourist folks and the resort folks, but hopefully that thing will resolve itself. But it might not be anytime soon. Minnesota Score Radio. Your Shania Twain ticket.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
All right, joined by the Hall of Famer Rod Carew in the Twin Cities earlier this week for a Twins camp, and I know you make these appearances yearly, and you really are engaged with the kids, aren't you?
Well, you know, I try to do as much as I can because I want these young kids to understand that we're here to teach them about the game. We're here to help them. And so when they do come, it's not a babysitting job. Their parents didn't just drop them off here for us to babysit them, but they dropped them off for us to try and teach them some things, and hopefully when they leave camp, they would have learned one or two things.
I know my three boys loved hearing what you had to say on Tuesday in Andover, but you had a message for the parents, too. Encourage, don't discourage.
Well, I think it's important. I think, you know, when you have a son or a daughter that's playing sports, if they're not having a good day, you've got to encourage them. You can't scream and yell at them, you know, because it doesn't do anything more than to make them feel worse about, you know, the job they're doing on the field. So, you know, I tell parents that. I tell coaches that. You know, why not? We're teachers. So we've got to try and not let them, not shush them away from the game, but keep them coming back for more.
Was there ever a point in your career where you got so discouraged that you said, you know what, this might not be the sport for me?
Oh, definitely. You know, as a young man growing up in Panama, I just didn't want to play anymore. And my uncle told me, he says, well, you're not going to play soccer anymore, so you better concentrate in playing baseball because you've got so much talent that I think that if you keep working at it, you can go a long way. And, you know, I listened to him, and it turned out good.
Yeah. Hall of Fame. You were in Cooperstown last week for the induction ceremonies, and they had quite the class with Biggio and Johnson and Martinez and Smoltz. That's got to be a thrill to go back every year to New York.
You know, it's a special place. It's a special weekend, and you have 40, 50,000 people that come in for that weekend to pay tribute to the guys that are going in. So I go back every year because it's one of the greatest fraternities in the world. And so we enjoy being around each other. And, you know, it's nice that on Sunday night we have a dinner, just all the Hall of Famers, and we present these guys with their rings and just to welcome them into, you know, one of the greatest fraternities in the world.
And you're in those hallowed halls, Cooperstown, New York. There's been much debate recently about Pete Rose. We saw at the All-Star Game in Cincinnati, his hometown. Should he be on the ballot? A-Rod, we saw him hit three home runs against the Twins last week. One on his 40th birthday, Monday night down in Texas. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, guys like that. As somebody in the Hall of Fame, what's your viewpoint on all that?
Well, I would like them to put Pete Rose on the ballot. Give the writers an opportunity to vote. If they vote him in, fine. If they don't, then I guess people have to understand that what he did was wrong. But I love Pete. You know, he played the game the way the game was supposed to be played. So give the writers an opportunity, and if they do elect him, then there's nothing that we can do about it. As far as the other guys, you know, I don't know. It's I'm going to leave that up to the commissioner.
Hey, Rob Manfred, if Rod Crew had a vote, would Pete Rose, would you punch his ballot?
If I had a vote for Pete, I would punch his ballot.
All right, the Twins, 2015. They've been a feel-good story so far. Can they keep it up?
Well, you know, no one thought that they'd be in the position they're in. And I really think that it's no fluke because they do have some good young players. I think Paul has done a tremendous job along with his coaching staff. And, yeah, you know, they've gone through a couple bad games the last few. But, yeah, I expect them to resume and, you know, continue the way that they've been playing.
Yeah, Paul Molitor might be a manager of the year in the American League if things keep up at this pace. Brian Dozier's had an outstanding season. And Torrey Hunter, you can't minimize the impact this guy has on the field and in the room.
No, you can't. You know, every place that Torrey has been, that's the way it turns out. You know, he was with the Angels, and Mike Trout came up, took him under his wing and talked to him, showed him how to play the game, took him out to dinner, and was always with him. Went to Detroit. The players loved him in Detroit because Torrey gives of himself. You know, he remembers when Kirby Puckett was here and Chili Davis and all those guys. Those are the guys that were, you know, helping him out. So now he's giving back. So I was happy when the Twins signed him because I knew that he would make a difference. I knew that he would help the young players on this ball club because this ball club has a lot of good young talent. So he's doing a great job.
Back up to Mike Trout, who's won back-to-back All-Star Game MVPs. You live in Orange County. He's become the face of the Angels, maybe MLB. When Torrey takes him under his wing, Torrey is essentially saying to himself, I know this guy's going to take my job in center field. So that is the ultimate statement as being a team guy, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and but that's the way Torrey is. You know, he wants to help as much as he can. And whether it's there or it's here, he's going to continue to do that.
Harmon Killebrew, he's been gone now for a few years, but there's talk about a postage stamp. I'm sure that you would endorse that.
Oh, definitely. I tell you, one of the nicest people I've met. And, you know, I still think about him. I think about him and Tony Oliva all the time because those two guys really helped me out as a young player coming up. So every time I sit down and look at some of the magazines that I have with Harmon and Tony, you know, it just brings back great memories.
When you step off the plane and come back to the Twin Cities, and you visit a lot, but what goes through your mind?
I'm home. You know, and that's the way it's been since I left. Even when I came back as a player, people really responded to me because I think people saw me as a young 20-year-old kid when I came up. All the things that I went through, my hot-headed days that I went through. And I think they watched me grow into a mature person. And, you know, and that really makes me feel good. I think in 1977, when I received 6 or 7 standing ovations at the old Met, that told me that, you know, the people of the Twin Cities really, really loves me.
All right, one more thought. This was part of your message to the kids camping the other day at Andover High School. That in the old days, you guys had roommates. Tony Oliva was your roommate. You became tight, you became close, you bonded almost as brothers. They don't have roommates anymore. They have suites, they live by themselves on the road. You think the roommate thing was a good thing?
I think it was, because, you know, if I had a bad day, I could go back to the room and talk to Tony. Roommate, what did I do today? Was I pulling my head on the ball? What was I doing? And Tony would always tell me. So we went everywhere together. We ate together, went to the ballpark together, sat around, talked about baseball. So I think when they took the roommates away from the game, I think it hasn't helped baseball much at all.
Rod, always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I know it was a thrill to hear you on Tuesday.
Well, thanks, pal. It's always good to see you, too.
Rod Carew, Hall of Famer, Minnesota Twins, and California Angels.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your Rod Carew ticket. Good job, Rocky, for getting number 29 on the airwaves this week. And always fun to catch up with Rod Carew. He's such a baseball savant, so to speak. I mean, he's very bright when it comes to the game. And he was at that Twins camp in Andover earlier in the week. My kids had a chance to go. And Eric Lovedahl, I'll give him some props. And his staff, they do a fabulous job with these Twins camps. They space them out around the Twin Cities metro. But they're hands-on. And they bring in somebody like Carew, and Kyle Gibson was there as well. And so the kids get to hear it from a lot of different voices. The head coach at Augsburg was there. So it's a lot of fun. But the thing about Carew I thought was interesting, the Pete Rose stuff. He said if I had a vote, I punch his ballot. You know, he's in my eyes. So, and that's a guy in the Hall of Fame. So take that for what it's worth, because I'm not so sure that everybody in the Hall of Fame feels that way. I don't even know if Johnny Bench does. I always get the feeling there's some uneasy love between those two former Reds.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if you asked Johnny Bench whether he would vote, if there was a secret ballot, I would guess he'd say no. You know?
I think you're right. And I saw the other day where Tommy Lasorda said he does not belong in. He was very critical of Pete with what he did, the transgression. So everybody's got an opinion. I think we know that much, and it's a polarizing topic.
What's yours?
I think he should be on the ballot.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it. And I'll take it a step further. I'm ready for Barry Bonds to be on the ballot.
No, I'm not.
And Clemens and, well, A-Rod's still playing. But that's just how I view it. Because I look at Bonds. How many home runs did Bonds hit off of guys that were juiced? You and I talked to Bob Nightingale of USA Today. He said the pitchers juiced as much as the hitters.
Yeah.
Did Bonds need to do it? Did none of these guys needed to do it.
Well, Barry Bonds didn't need. Barry Bonds is going to the Hall of Fame regardless.
Right.
Barry Bonds went from the point of being a great player to wanting to be the best ever. That was his motivation. He wanted to be number
and
one.
And he might have been the best ever anyway. If you go on the five tool aspect, he had the power before the stuff, right?
And the speed.
He had the speed and the arm, and he had the glove, and you know all that stuff they talk about. And look, the feds dropped their case against him last week. So the feds have said we're done. We don't have anything on him, or at least we don't have enough. So
yeah, I was going to say they don't have enough. Who are you kidding? All right, you put him in. I believe that Pete Rose should be in, even though he ran over Ray Fosse. I believe Pete Rose should be in. I mean, the guy's got what, 1,000 more hits than anybody else? He like 1,000 more.
Yeah, he's the hit king.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I put him in too, because then Just for Men can hire him for a hair spot.
he's got issues there, man. He has some real.
But
issues.
I'm okay with it. I'm with Carew. He played the game the right way.
Yeah. Been to Mankato yet?
I have not.
Ever?
Well, not this year.
Oh, okay. are you drinking the purple Kool-Aid yet?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of purple Kool-Aid out there to sample. I think a lot of people are drinking it. I'm optimistic about this team. I don't think there's any reason not to be. I mean,
yeah.
the obvious statements come into play. You need to be healthy. You got to have some breaks along the way. I mean, that's all part of the deal. But when I look at this football team, there's no question they're better with Adrian Peterson. I mean, you'd have to be a fool not to realize that.
Sure.
Teddy, I think he has that it factor that you need at the quarterback position. He's got to get better in some areas, but I think he realizes that. I think Norv Turner will be able to help him out, help out AP in that offense. I think the offensive line has to play better than a year ago, and they probably will. They need Kyle Rudolph healthy. I think that's got to be a guy that Teddy can lean on, especially in those third and seven situations when you need 8 or 9 yards. What will Mike Wallace do? They're excited about that deep threat, blowing the top off the defense. This Charles Johnson, I love what he did a year ago. He's a D2 kid out of Central Michigan. He's like Adam Thielen, who went to Minnesota State. Cordero clearly has to get better. Defensively, I think they have a young, aggressive defense that will be in the mold of Mike Zimmer, what we saw in Cincinnati when he was with the Bengals. I like Harrison Smith as your safety. He's aggressive. He's as physical as you can be in today's NFL. I like Xavier Rhodes a lot. Trey Waynes, we'll see, the top pick out of Michigan State. I'm very high on Everson Griffin. Anthony Barr, again, missed the last four games with an injury, but the 12 he played in, Anthony Barr was an impact guy as a rookie. I mean, I love that strip, scoop, and score in Tampa to win it in overtime. I think you'll see more out of that from Anthony Barr.
You mentioned Cordero, and, you know, according to the reports that we're getting out of Mankato, Coach Zimmer said that Cordero's been good. And he's looked good so far, you know, but it's day to day. I agree. I think that they need to get more out of Cordell Patterson. I mean, this year, I think, is do or die for him in this organization, maybe in the NFL. You know, if you can, I mean, somebody will take a chance on him just because of his raw speed and, you know, those type of abilities. And we saw what he could do in punt returns and kick returns.
Even as a running back.
You know, who knows what you get? The guy's loaded with physical talents, but man, if you can't run a pattern, if you don't know the playbook, you're not going to have a spot in the NFL too long.
I think, yes. And look, if you take a look at the ultra-elite players, your Larry Juniors, you know, Chris Carter back in the day, Jerry Rice, you know, even a Raymond Berry way back in the day. You know, what are the common threads with these guys? They all were talented, but they all were workaholics who were precise on route running. They had the good hands. They were detail-oriented. And I think that's probably been one thing that Cordero's been hasn't been good at. So now, will he ever be like that? I don't know. He needs to be. But on the other hand, you've got Norv Turner, who is a bright guy. Are there situations where you can put Cordero in where he doesn't necessarily have to be the guy who runs the 7.5-yard out, cut on a dime? In other words, get him in space, get him the ball, keep working on the detail stuff, but I think in some cases, Cordero just needs to have the ball in situations where he can thrive.
Yeah.
A little bit like Percy.
Yeah, I agree. They need to find spots where they can make.
Exactly.
Now, you know, and here's the thing, too, is we thought that, you know, you bring in Norv Turner, that he's going to be able to work that magic with Cordero, and it didn't work out. I think he found out that Cordero has a lot to learn, and so it was a learning process for both of them last year. Maybe he's done his homework over the summer and decided, okay, this is how we're going to use him. Maybe you simplify it and you find.
Well, that's kind of where I was going.
Yeah.
I mean, in space, flare patterns, you know, just things. Because remember that week one at St. Louis last year, didn't he have like a 75-yard touchdown run out of the backfield?
I believe so.
So there's a lot of ways to mix him up. You certainly have the return game angle because he excelled as a kick return guy in his rookie year when he made the Pro Bowl. Look, it's way too early to give up on Cordero. It's a little bit like the Aaron Hicks analogy that we went into earlier in the show. You got to be patient. And to me, Cordero and Matt Khalil are a little bit in the same boat. Both
yeah.
were rookies and made the Pro Bowl in their first year. And then Khalil, years 2 and 3, there's been a drop-off. And Cordero, year 2, certainly a drop-off. But they're good enough to get it back. They're going to have to get it back. And look, Khalil has to produce. He's the bodyguard for Teddy Bridgewater. He's the left tackle. That's a position where you get paid a lot of money to keep your quarterback upright. And will they need to give him help? Tight end chipping, fullback help? Who knows? But that's a difficult position to play. Look at all the speed rushers you got to deal with who come with a swim or a rip. You got to get your feet set. You got to get your arms up into their, you know, their chest area. It's not an easy thing to do.
Last week we talked about Blair Walsh, and lo and behold, they sent him to a contract extension. Now there's talk about Jarius Wright getting a contract extension. Do you like that idea? Are you sold on Jarius?
Well, he's made some big plays. I think he had the two huge touchdowns against the Jets, including the walk-off winner in overtime.
I remember.
So, and now he's a year into the Norv Turner regime and Mike Zimmer. And yeah, I think there's value in a guy like that. They don't really offensively, with the exception of AP, they don't have that one guy, you know, that you say, okay, he's a Megatron. You know, they don't have that. They think they'll get production out of Wallace and certainly Kyle Rudolph and hopefully Cordero and Charles Johnson. I think they have a lot of guys who are going to be in the mix and contribute.
And Jarius Wright could be one.
Yeah, yardage by committee.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, but the Adrian Peterson thing, I don't think you can minimize it. He's going to make this offense better, and we know he's going to be motivated.
Well, maybe he'll make Cordell Patterson better. You know, you don't know. I do find it interesting that it's been kind of a quiet first week or so of training camp in Mankato. Nothing jumping out at you. You know, just little stories here and there, but really nothing, no big stories out of Mankato, which is probably good. Probably the way Coach Zimmer wants it after last year with AP and all the misery they had to go through there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want the soap opera stuff and the mini cams and the satellite trucks hovering around training camp for all the wrong reasons. Let them go to New England and deal with the Deflategate stuff.
Or Bloomington.
Yeah, that's true.
Dennis Soft.
The old home of the Vikings. Wow.
Yeah, you didn't think I was going there.
No, I didn't. We can get on our soapbox and rip into trophy hunting and what the dentist did, but maybe next segment.
I think
universally most people would say that was a very sickening thing at the minimum. But yeah, you're right. It's been so far relatively drama-free. They've got more camp to deal with because they're playing 5 preseason games. And they open up a week from Sunday night in Canton, Ohio against Pittsburgh. So I'm sure Mike Zimmer's not thrilled with that. There has to be a pace factor involved. But Mike Zimmer's old school. Look, this guy, I bet if you pinned him into a corner or a secret ballot and you asked him about glass house versus outdoors, he'd probably rather be outside too, although he could never say that.
Well, he can't say it now.
No.
Look who's paying his
exactly.
His
but my point is, he's old school, and he will have them banging around a little bit and playing in the rain and stuff like that, and I like that. I think that's good, and Mike Zimmer's getting a lot of rave reviews. He only won 7 games last year, but I think most people think that he's got a plan. And this coaching staff will coach these kids up.
Did they win 7? I thought they won 5.
Didn't they win 7?
I don't remember.
You probably click them off here. They beat the Bears once. They beat the Jets. They beat the Panthers. They beat the Rams.
And they won one more.
They only won 5?
Or did they win 6? It was right in there. I don't think they won 7. I don't believe they went 7-9.
They beat Washington. That's 5 right there. I'll see if I can come up with 2
right,
more.
They
beat Atlanta. Remember, they were 2-1 at one point after beating Atlanta. That's 6.
All right. Well, I'll give you another segment to figure it out. You can figure it out because Al Moss is waiting on deck. We're back with Al Moss and more on Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Time now to check in on our Leech Lake fishing report, and we head up to Leech Lake in the Walker area with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. Al, I guess we can officially nominate these as the dog days of summer as things have really slowed down on the fishing front. All right, and that being said ahead of time, Al, what types of things are you recommending? I mean, let's start with the walleye. If I want to catch walleye, I know that the fish have gone deep. What are you recommending?
Well, they're not only deep, they're also shallow walleye. But what we recommend to the people right now is don't fish the mid part of the day. Fish the low light hours, early in the morning and in the evening. And when it's cooler, if you could fish during the cover, that's great too. But remember, Leech is a wind-driven lake, so go to the wind side. What we're seeing right now is, just like every lake, you're right, it's dog days, the water temp is up in the mid-70s, we're having a hard time picking up lots of fish. However, you're still going to get enough fish to need if you play your cards right. I would recommend, Wally, that we take a look at the western basin here. The Sand Point area in Walker has been very productive in the evening hours. The people that are fishing in the shallows, they start at about 9 o'clock, and they pull crankbaits, and they're fishing leeches and crawlers on a rig. And they're doing very well, but during the day, you aren't going to get that. The other thing is, remember, we just had an AIM tournament here. There was 80 boats. That's the biggest number we've had for a long time. These are all pros, and Doc Sampson won it by fishing the deeper water in Walker Bay, and I don't think he fished over about 400 yards, to be honest with you. He stayed right in one pod when he found it, but he had about 35 pounds of fish, and he was catching them the same way with a crawler or a leech, going very, very slow and looking for the big fish. And the people that had red tails or chubs also caught some big fish, but that's what I would recommend. The rocks are producing some fish out in the middle of the bay. Again, it's wind-driven. But pull spinners, and probably they're crayfish colored, is the best because that's what we're seeing on the bottom. And the other thing would be, you know, rig it, and play the wind strong. Shad wraps, number sevens and eights are doing the best to use a crawfish color. Also, the one that's working pretty good is Fire Tiger. And one other thing with that, Walter, they are catching some quality pike, which I mean is over 4 pounds.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go through the rest of the species. I want to hit a little bit on the panfish, and we'll talk some bass and muskie as well. We're talking to Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake. Back with more from Al right after this. Time out.
Attention fishermen. Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations, or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3 bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, football, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
And we continue along with our Leech Lake fishing report with Al Moss. All right, Al, let's start with the bass. What are you recommending folks use if they're looking for the bass at this time of year?
Well, right now, while I fished bass yesterday, we probably had one of the poorest times we did. We only fished them for 3 hours. But we had a bright sky, no wind, and we still caught 15, probably 17 bass. We didn't have a 5-pounder in the bunch. But what we're recommending to you if you come up here to fish the bass, the wild rice beds right now have emerged, and you have the front part of the bed from the outside is bent over rice, and then back behind it is a heavy, dense vegetation about 6 inches to 8 inches high. Throw the weedless spoons across the top. The best thing we're using up here, there's three of them. One is the Northland Jawbreaker. The second is is very similar to it. Or throw a frog. Those are Barney spoon is the other one. Or throw a frog across the top or toad and work them very slow. And those bass will come out of the thickest vegetation that you can believe. And if they miss it, come on right back again and give it another shot or follow up with a pig and jig that penetrates that rice. But we have tested bog, we have tested beaver runs and everything. The bass are now moved to the summer habitat.
All right, Al, appreciate it. I know that these are tough times on the water at times, but hopefully some folks will be able to use some of what you give them today and bring home some fish this weekend.
Hopefully so. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Al. That's Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake with our weekly report. Eric and I are back to wrap up this week's show right after this timeout.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we're back to wrap it up. Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket. It has been confirmed. The Vikings
yes.
were 7-9 last
yes,
season.
Yes, they were.
You tried to cheat Mike Zimmer out of 2 wins.
Yeah, well, they were meaningless wins.
Yeah, had they not blown those late games in Miami and Buffalo, they'd have flip-flopped and been 9-7, and who knows what would have happened. But I think that's the other thing, that the Minnesota Vikings have to prove they can win games late, not give them away. We saw that with Leslie Frazier. He was criticized heavily for that. We saw it with Mike Zimmer's team last year. They let two games get away, Buffalo, Miami. That has to change. You can't do that and make the playoffs.
I would agree. All right, let's shift gears. Timberwolves brought in Andre Miller. So now they have two 40-year-olds on the roster going into training camp, going into NBA training camp in October. I saw Andre Miller, I think, last year when he was with Sacramento, because I think he bounced between Sacramento and San Antonio, or Sacramento and Washington. I can't remember which it was. He's large, man. I mean, he is he's big. I would go so far to even say fat. I mean,
you don't see that a lot in the NBA.
No, I mean, he was huge. I couldn't believe how big Andre Miller
is. Is he bigger than Oliver Miller?
He's not bigger than Oliver Miller. Although there might be something in that name.
That's true. Are they related?
But, I mean, he's drafted in 1999 by the Cavs, of all teams. He's been around. I mean, he was really good. I mean, early in his career. And his lifetime career numbers are pretty good. He averaged almost, 14, 15 points and about 4 or 5 assists a game. I mean, he's a longtime NBA veteran, and I guess they're trying to protect themselves because of Rubio coming off the injury, and Tyus Jones is young and small. I guess that's what they're doing. I'm a little baffled by the signing.
Well, it skews the median age of the team. I mean, you know, yes, the average age, even with KG, is probably about 21. Now it'll go up a little bit with another 40-year-old. If he makes the team, I would say probably, you know, similar to what you just said, that with Tyus, it'll probably be a process. With Ricky Rubio, you don't know. You're not 100% sure yet with the injury factor he's had. So even if an Andre Miller can give you 7-8 minutes a night,
I suppose.
Off the bench, veteran presence, know certain scenarios that come up, or help out Tyus Jones and even Ricky Rubio. So that's I guess, the only way I can look at this.
WNBA, your Lynx go out and make a bunch of moves. They go out and get Folks, and they win the other night against the Sparks. I see that Lindsey Whalen put up a ton of shots in that game. Maya Moore, probably the best player in the league, and she continues to do well. They're winning without right now, and then that's a big deal.
It is, and Maya is the best player in the league. I mean, she won the MVP last season. She was MVP in the All-Star game last week in Connecticut. She had 30 points and 6 rebounds. That was an All-Star game scoring record for the WNBA. So, you know, I've said this many times, but I believe it. When she's done here in Minnesota, and that, barring injury, that should be 5, 7, 8, 9 more years down the road, maybe longer. I think we're going to look back at Maya Moore as one of the most successful athletes professionally in Minnesota sports history, because the winning pedigree is there. I mean, her already having two titles in Minnesota, can you name me many other athletes in this state that have more than two here, that have been won here on Minnesota soil? I can't. Maybe George Mikan.
Not more than two.
No. Mikan's the only one I can think of.
The two, that 87 and 91 twins, that's two. The guys
right.
that were on both
so
of those.
So Kirby has two, and Ken Herbeck and those guys. No Vikings, as we know, no Wolves, no Wild. And Maya's got all the statistics you want, and she is an MVP. I just think when it's all said and done, she's going to be maybe a Mount Rushmore athlete in Minnesota history. And I think you're going to see a statue of Maya Moore someday at Target Center. Well, if Mikan can get one,
nice
one
call.
More title. One more title, and she's in George Mikan country. Sid's going to have to write about her.
Oh, no. That may never
Sid
happen.
Sid knew Mikan, of course.
I think Sid drafted Mikan, probably.
He probably did.
I think he might have.
Met him at the airport and gave him a fistful of cash to keep him from going to the Syracuse Nationals or whatever team they had back then. Sid will be ecstatic this weekend. They're honoring the 65 Twins AL pennant team at Target Field.
So who is any notables going to be in? Obviously, Tony O is always here. We know that. Was that – Carew was not a rookie that year,
no.
Was he? No, he did rookie 67, I believe.
I believe
right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Obviously –
Cott?
Yeah, Jim Cott. No Harmon, sadly so, but we lost him a few years ago. And I think Mudcat Grant is going to make it. You know, there will be a handful. That's 50 years now.
Yeah.
And that's really the – excluding the Minneapolis Lakers, who certainly had their moments back in the day. But the NBA was nothing back then as far as notoriety. It was kind of a barnstorming league. When the Twins went to the World Series in 65, now I wasn't here then, but...
But that was the start of Minnesota.
That stamped it. Yeah, Minnesota got on the
map.
Yeah, you know, and you played the LA Dodgers, too. You faced Koufax in Drysdale and lost a seven-game World Series because you ran into Koufax one too many times. So that was kind of the start of things, and certainly it'll be a feel-good weekend for the 65 Twins who come back. I know that at the camp in Andover, Bob Showers has written a book called Twins at the Met, and he also did one on the North Stars with Lou Nanny, and the Twins at the Met book is a fantastic coffee table book. Lots of photos of all the Twins who played at Met Stadium and, you know, those memories, and he has a section in there devoted to 65, which I guess would be your pinnacle year for Twins baseball at the Met.
Yeah, well, no question, because they won it all. I think they won division titles in 69 and 70, yep. But... you know, never advanced. The Orioles were always in the way, it seemed like.
Yes, they were. Boy, those were some good teams, weren't they? I mean, Dave McNally, Jim Palmer, Mike Cuellar, Boog Powell, Brooks Robinson, Paul Blair.
Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson, yes. The manager, Dave Johnson.
I know. Yeah, he was their second baseman back then.
They were very good.
Brooks and Frank Robinson,
oh,
I think you
Frank,
mentioned.
Yeah. Wow.
Now that was a pretty good team. And the thing about it back then, and this was pre-free agency, is that those teams, now it was right at the heels of it where free agency started, but those team players and teams stayed together for a long time. That's how those dynasties were built. You know, there was no free agency until Curt Flood pulled it off about a year or two later, if you recall.
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you had a team that you cheered for and they were good, it was good for you as a fan to have no free agency because there couldn't be any movement. I think that's why I fell in love with the Vikings, the Purple People Eaters. That gang, you know, Page, Marshall,
Eller,
Tarkenton, Foreman, Rashad, Yeri, and I can go on and on and on.
And the NFL didn't have free agency for a long time.
Exactly. They were intact. You know, the core was intact from about 68 to 80. That would never happen now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Seattle Seahawks, I'm already hearing rumblings about how they're going to keep Cam Chancellor, how they're going to keep Bobby Wagner. Russell Wilson isn't even signed yet. So it is a much different era. It's much better for the players. And if you have a bad team, you can get better quicker with free agency. But it sure was fun to cheer for the Vikings back then because those players had no leverage. They couldn't go anywhere. And the Vikings never paid that much.
No, that was, you're right, that was it. I mean, you were a Viking, you're basically a Viking for the rest
yeah,
of your career.
I mean, the fearsome foursome, the doomsday defense, the steel curtain, the Purple People Eaters, they stuck around for a long time because they had to.
The Steelers were a dynasty for a long time, the Cowboys
yes.
were a dynasty. You just don't see that now, which is what makes what the Patriots have been able to
yes.
do over the last decade so incredibly you know, worthwhile to look at, because they really have done something in an era where you just don't have that anymore.
I agree, and you know, even with all this Deflategate stuff, I think what they've done's been remarkable. Bill Belichick has been very laser focused as a head coach, and they have an organization with an outstanding owner in Bob Kraft. And I would throw the San Antonio Spurs into that conversation.
Yeah.
What they've been able to do, and then they've reloaded here in the off season with LaMarcus Aldridge and some other signings. So it still does start at the top. To me, that's clearly why some of the teams in Minnesota have struggled. I think you know, we criticize players and coaches a lot, but what about ownership? And it's funny because I've had some conversations the last few weeks with guys like Carl Lee and Steve Jordan, and before that,
former Vikings
Chris Dolman, yes, who played in that group, the Bernsey group, and the beginning of Danny Green. They had a ton of talent. What
yep.
would they have, 13 Pro Bowlers
oh,
one year?
Oh yeah,
and
especially on the offensive side of the
right, they were loaded, and the knock was, they underachieved, right?
I think they did.
Maxed out. And the team that in that span that was very good was San Francisco. And I remember Chris Dolman vividly telling me this. I said, Chris, do you ever look back and say, wow, I can't believe we didn't get to the Super Bowl, let alone win one? He says, every day. He says, I can't believe it didn't happen. We had too much talent. I said, what happened then? Why didn't it happen? He says, well, Mike Lynn. He says, we had so many players in the room worried about money, worried about contracts, fighting with Mike Lynn, who was a very polarizing GM, that it trickled onto the field. Hmm. Whereas if you look at the 49ers, who had Eddie DeBartolo.
Yeah, he took care of his guys.
A very good owner, like a Jerry Buss type, Bob Kraft type, loved his players like they were his kids. And that was the difference. And Carl Lee told me the same thing. Steve Jordan said the same thing. So that's bad ownership.
And that's probably the root canal cause of,
yes,
of why you never
root
got
canal,
over the
that's
time.
A good one.
Yeah, that's where I went.
Mike Lynn was not good for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah,
I would say Mike Lynn in the Metrodome ruined the Vikings.
No, he was like a root canal.
Oh.
All right. Let's remind you to visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online, just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, we'll FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Al Moss, another to Rod Carew.
And I failed to mention, we stepped into this whole time, our great wood bat tournament this weekend. We are doing for charity in Robbinsdale and Golden Valley. And it's a Little League tournament, features the 11-year-old state champions from Robbinsdale and several teams, 23 teams, to raise money for baseball in Benin, which is our project to bring baseball to that small country in West Africa.
All right, very good. So if you're in Robbinsdale, check it out. Also, thank yous to Rocky and for Wally Langfellow. I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket.